there. My name is Martha.
And I'm Colby. And this is the Shit You Need to Know podcast.
The show where we talk about what you need to know to live your best millennial life.
Listen in each week as we talk about everything from our favorite pizza to how to drop your toxic friends.
We ask each other the questions, and somewhere between us, there's an answer.
Because there's shit you need to know.
Hey, I'm Martha.
And this is Colby on the Shit You Need to Know podcast.
A podcast where we talk about things you need to know and some things you didn't. Welcome. That was very aggressive.
It was very aggressive, but I like the energy. We're tired, so we need a little bit of energy. Yeah, I
know. I'm trying to pump myself up here. All right, for the question of the week, shout out to my friend Megan for inspiration. Do you like pineapple on your pizza? For me, the answer is absolutely, without a doubt, no, because the only thing I put on my pizza besides sauce is cheese. Occasionally some basil.
I don't like pineapples in general.
Well, there you have it.
That answers that question. We're both. I'm not as picky of an eater as Martha, but I am still a picky eater.
Well, I don't like. If I did have, I think you should be able to eat whatever the fuck you want on your pizza. I prefer only cheese. And it's a long story that I probably have said once or twice before on the podcast, but I like to think that my theory is that I'd like to think that some restaurants, if they can't make a good cheese pizza, then they can't make a good pizza. When in reality, I'm just a picky eater.
Whatever you got to tell yourself.
But I don't think like pineapple on pizza is not something I totally I'm against if you like it, so whatever.
Yeah, go for it if that's what you're into. I just, it's not like a thing where I'm like offended if you put pineapple on your pizza. I don't like pineapple, so.
You can find us on Instagram at Real Martha Riley. Well, you can find me on Instagram there, but then you can find both of us at SYNTK Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Colby, where can we find you?
You can find me on all of those social medias. At Colby Complains.
How come you complain so much?
Listen, I've been thinking about changing the brand. Like, I want to change to a different at because Colby Complains is like three brands ago, maybe four. But I just never changed my Twitter.
I didn't know you had so many brands.
I contain multitudes.
Welcome to Pop Culture Month on the podcast. This month, we are talking about formative pieces of pop culture, things that we like, things that we maybe don't like. We're throwing in a game show. But first up is Colby's favorite show, Avatar: The Last Airbender. Colby, can you tell me why you like this show so much?
Because it's the best show ever, honestly. Like, I don't know what else I need to say more than that, then it's just the best. No, it's... I think that this show shaped a lot of how I viewed characters and like I a lot of things that I watch in this show, I see in the other things that I like. And this was the first one of or the first example I saw of these sorts of tropes and patterns that happen in TV shows. And it's just a very, very well made show.
Okay. I can deal with that.
The animation is great. The humor is good. The story is heartwarming. It's good stuff.
So before we get into it, we are going to roll a little bit of a clip of what I think about my first impressions. And then we'll see how accurate they are as we go along. Roll clip.
All right, y'all. Our next month we are traversing through on Shit You Need to Know is going to be Pop Culture Month, where we are going to be taking a little stroll through our favorite television shows, movies, books, music, all the things that have shaped us to be the people that we are.
Including but not limited to the movie Cool Runnings.
I'm sure we will talk a lot about Cool Runnings at some point, but not today. Today we are going to be talking about my favorite television show of all time.
Really?
Avatar The Last. Yes, of all time. I love the show Avatar The Last Airbender. Is that surprising to you?
I didn't think it would be your all-time favorite, but I guess I I don't know. It's not Game of Thrones, so.
As much as I talk about this show, you don't think my favorite show is Avatar okay, The Last okay, Airbender?
That's fair. That's fair. So I've never seen Avatar The Last Airbender. Mm-mm. So Colby has some questions for me before we start.
I mean, I don't have a bunch of questions. I just wanted to kind of take the temperature of the room. So as we record, I have not restarted my rewatch yet. I've watched the entire series through probably 4-ish times. Jesus. So most recent being like 2 years ago. But Martha, what do you know about Avatar The Last Airbender?
So I think back to my high school years, and I think I've actually seen one of the movies, because I know...
There are no movies.
There's... Okay.
Oh, wait, no. There is the movie, but that movie does not exist in Ba Sing Se.
No, but Aang and Appa were in it.
Is this animated?
Yeah.
There are no movies. There are two okay. There are multi-part episodes, but there are no movies.
Okay, so I think I have seen an episode of the show. I know that there is element bending. I know that there is people and animals that live together in harmony. And I know the main character is Aang, and he is the Avatar, I think, because he can bend all the elements.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of all I know.
So Aang is no, you know more than that character because you know Appa.
Well, okay, I know Aang and Appa. That's it. I don't know any of the and Uncle Zuko. Is that who?
Uncle Iroh.
Okay.
Zuko's a different character.
Okay.
So what are you what are your expectations? Because so for this episode, we're only going to be talking about the two-parter first episode. I think they're both called The Boy and the Iceberg.
What are my expectations? I mean, you love this show. A lot of other people I know really love this show. So it's got to be good. How many seasons is it?
It's so Avatar The Last Airbender is 3 seasons. Avatar The Legend of Korra is 4 seasons.
Oh, see, I didn't know about the Legend of Korra stuff. I'm excited. Like, I think it'll be a new, interesting show that pushes me out of my comfort zone because I'm kind of just rewatching the same things over and over again right now. I don't really have any new shows that I'm interested in. Well, I just started Grey's Anatomy, but I'm pretty sure that is the farthest thing you can get from Grey's Anatomy. So I think it'll be good. Like, I think it'll be fun. And I don't usually do like the pop culture analysis of stuff. That's like new territory for us. So I think that'll be fun too.
For you.
For me.
Sometimes on my other podcast, Never Made Varsity, I have done a couple film and TV reviews before. But this will be my first time talking about something I've seen multiple times before. So I'm interested to see what this rewatch gives me.
Yeah, that'll be good, and I'm excited to hear what you have to say about it, just because it is one of your favorite things. And I mean, we learned a lot when it was the football episode, so I know you're capable of talking and teaching me about stuff.
Oh, when I like something, I go all in. Go all the way in. Also, the first episode is The Boy and the Iceberg. The second episode is going to be The Avatar Returns. So.
Cool. And just so you know, if you guys like this, we are playing around with doing a separate Avatar rewatch podcast, but we will mention that later on in our main recording. But just keep that in mind if you're interested in this and you like to hear what we have to say.
The more people that listen to this, the more likely I feel inclined to doing this. So if this is something you want to see, tell your friends, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, so because this is Colby's favorite show, I agreed to watch it, and we watched 2 episodes this week, and if you want, you can find them. They're not actually really streaming anywhere, so unless you have the Blu-ray box set like Colby, you can watch it there. Otherwise, you can find it on Nick Jr., The Nick subscription. Yes.
That's where you watched it, on Nick Jr.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if it was Nick Jr. or just like Nick specific. But anyways, there was a Nick add-on on Amazon that I did a free trial of. And you know what? I fucking forgot to cancel it as I'm recording this. So I have to do that after. All right. So
just buy the box set. Just buy the box set.
I don't even know if I have a Blu-ray player in my house. I'd have to buy a Blu-ray player. I could buy it. Well, PlayStation is more expensive, but...
Or honestly, just wait for the PS5.
We'll circle back to that.
Yes, you will.
Okay, so let's set the scene a little bit. The first episode of the series is called The Boy and the Iceberg. And again, this aired in 2005, so the show is like 14 years old. Whoa. Colby was 1 year old. Just kidding.
Little baby boy.
It is part of Book One, Water, which is a part of like the first part of the TV show. It's like an anthology. So here's a little bit. No,
there's is seasons. That wrong? Not anthology, seasons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Season one is water. Season two is earth. Season three is fire.
What about air?
There's only three seasons. He already knows how to airbend.
Oh. That's why they call him the last airbender.
Oh.
So we are going to continue on in our little plot summary just so you guys get a feeling for the main characters. And full disclosure, we recorded this like last week. It'll be like 2 weeks ago when this comes out. And honestly, I was pretty hammered, so it did not turn out well. Maybe we'll release the episode in like a newsletter at some future date just because it was so bad. Like, and that was my fault.
It's not even like it's not funny bad, it's just bad.
Like, we didn't know what we were doing, and I have so much respect for people who actually recap shit, because this is really hard. It's like, how do you not just like read the plot summary? I don't know. So we're gonna read a little bit of the plot summary, like I just said, and then we're gonna go through our thoughts. So that's how the episode is going to be structured. So sit back, relax, and grab some water, because we are going deep into the Southern Water Tribe.
Let's penguin sled through the plot.
Oh, that's cute. While fishing, siblings Katara and Sokka discover Aang, a young boy frozen in an iceberg. After freeing him and his flying bison named Appa, they learn his identity as an airbender, long thought extinct. So let's pause there. Colby, what is an airbender?
An airbender is someone who can bend air. So in this world, there are four types of magic that we know of. There is airbending, waterbending, earthbending, and firebending. They're pretty self-explanatory, so I'll just describe bending in general. All of those elements you're able to modify, and in some cases create all of those elements and use them as tools or as weapons or as however you need to use them in that moment.
After witnessing the beam of light that shot through the sky after the two broke through the ice, Zuko, who is an exiled prince of the Fire Nation, so Katara and Sokka are in the water tribe, and Zuko is the Fire Nation. So Zuko, to sort of redeem himself, is tasked with finding the long-lost Avatar to restore his honor. While playing, Aang and Katara get up into some shenanigans, and that reveals Aang's whereabouts to Zuko, who is on a ship trying to find Aang. So we learn that Aang is the Avatar. Katara and Sokka are part of the Water Nation, and...
Water Tribe.
Oh, shit.
Okay, let's pause there. Let's pause there so we can do a little bit of world setting. So with the bending, there are four different cultures, we'll say, in this world. So you have the Southern and Northern Water Tribes that are on the poles. We have the Earth Kingdom, which is just this one big continent ruled by one king. The Fire Nation, which is a imperialist island nation. And also the air nomads, who are all but extinct. So
there are a lot of people in this world. Some of them we haven't met yet just because it's the first episode, but we will get to those. So we are going to now just share some of our thoughts that we had while reading this episode and go a little bit more into depth into what happened. So my first thought and the first thing I wrote is, I can't believe I did a trial of Nick Jr. for this. Nick Jr. When is the last time you watched something on Nickelodeon? Never.
Like last week. There's an episode of SpongeBob. What?
Oh my god, I knew you were gonna say SpongeBob. Why do all men like SpongeBob? Like, seriously, every dude I've ever met loves SpongeBob.
I know plenty of women who like SpongeBob. It's a very good show. It is well made. It is funny. It's good. So one of the first things I noticed, this being my umpteenth watch through of this show, is that this is I'll call it the long form of the intro voiceover. So every episode starts with the same voiceover from Katara long ago to Four Nations Live Together in Harmony and Everything Changed when the Fire Nations attacked. In this episode, we get the long form kind of, this is everything that's been happening in the past decade, century, whatever, before the show happened. And now here we go. After this episode, like when we get to episode 2, we'll get the short version that we'll get for the rest of the show. But I liked hearing this version because it's something different that I kind of forgot happened. So I enjoyed that little bit of world building, even though some people call voiceover a lazy way to do exposition. I think it works here if it's going to be the first thing you're doing in your fantasy show.
Yeah, and I think that's really important because when I think about exciting credit scenes, I mean, I think of Game of Thrones and how that was super intricate and they really like set up the story. Like, okay, here we're going there, we're going there. So I do appreciate like a good introduction. My only complaint so far is that I paid for a trial. Well, it's free, but now I'm paying because I forgot to cancel of Nick Jr. What? I was a Disney Channel kid. We discussed this episodes ago.
But listen, Nickelodeon had plenty of quality programming, especially, like I said earlier, the animation on Nickelodeon was great. Many great shows to choose from. I think you should keep it and watch some old school Nick.
Okay, so another thing that I wrote down in my notes is, oh, look, a man explaining something to a woman. So when Katara and Sokka are fishing, they get into a fight. And Katara, I'm learning the names, Katara gets really mad at Sokka for just being kind of a dick. And she sort of like, she doesn't blow up, but she gets really mad. And the iceberg sort of and the cliff comes crashing down a little bit. So this is like the first time you see an example of water bending, which is pretty cool.
What do you think of the brother-sister dynamic?
I don't know if I have an opinion yet. I think,
okay.
Yeah, I don't think I have an opinion yet, but I'm excited. Like, I think they'll be good, what, like foils to each other, because I assume, I'm making assumptions, but I assume Aang and Katara become a little bit closer just because they're both benders and Sokka is not.
Observant.
Yeah, those are my thoughts.
I like how we're getting little glimpses into what their characters will become. Like the first time we see Sokka, good Lord, I'm blending my words. First time we see Sokka, he has like this little smirk on his face. And I feel like Sokka with a smirk is a pretty good summation of his entire character throughout the show. Of course, he'll like learn and grow and all that other stuff, but I think that was a interesting choice from the animators. He says leave it to a girl at some point, and I was like, wow, that is very 2005 on the nose, girls can do anything sort of feminism, which I thought was interesting.
Speaking of annoying men, we got to talk about Prince Zuko. Like, what was up his ass this episode? He was just being a dick. Maybe that comes from like entitlement of being a prince or whatever, but I don't know. I'm curious to see more about him because at the end of episode 2, which we'll get into a little bit, his ship, like basically like Aang sort of bends and his ship gets stuck in the ice. So I'm curious to see like when we see him next.
Zuko is one of my favorite characters. He is a certified DDMB, as Storm of Spoilers, Slack, and podcast would call it. What is that?
I've never heard of that.
Depressive Demon Nightmare Boy.
Oh, I've never heard of that. Okay.
That might have been before your time. It was an off-season tour thing.
Got it.
Yeah, he's just very much a pouty little... a pouty little shit who wants his way all the time. But he, at least that's how he's presented in the first episode. We learn a lot more about Zuko's character later, but that's for later. He's a hothead. Get it?
So one thing that was funny that I noticed is that there are very clearly delineated commercial breaks. And when is the last time you've watched a show that so clearly like faded to black? I just thought that was funny. We're really like going back in time a little bit here. But I do appreciate that the episodes are only 22 minutes. That is great for my attention span.
Let's talk about Aang now, because that's the next thing we see. After we come back from commercial, we see Aang glowing eyes coming out of the iceberg.
Okay, so I wrote baby boy in blue, and I don't know why, but I assume that is about Aang.
So when we see Aang in the iceberg, he's kind of watery, and he's not really in a fetal position, but it is kind of in a cross-legged sort of... suspended state, and I wonder if they wanted to see this as some sort of rebirth a little bit. I thought it was an interesting choice to frame his reintroduction into the world as such.
That is interesting. I'm sure that maybe plays into more of the series later. I wrote down like, is this an imprinting situation like Twilight? I don't know why I wrote that, but I assume it's because, you know, Aang is like this baby, and then he meets these two people, Katara and Sokka, and something's maybe going to happen. So I was picking up on some vibes. But let's talk about how cute Appa is for a second, because he's really cute. And it is kind of freaky that he has six legs. I will say that. And I also don't know why the penguins have six legs. That's weird. I didn't like that. But that's some like world building shit we don't have to get into.
No, but I want to get into it.
Okay,
because
let's get into it.
I wrote down tiger seals on my list of notes. And it's like a quick shot. It's like less than a second long of like a tiger seal going, and then it cuts to whatever's next. I think it's back to Zuko after that. And I think it's such an interesting way to delineate their world from our world in such a snap way to see, okay, all these things are happening and we see an animal that is clearly not an animal that we see in our world. It's just like this is going to be a different sort of thing that you're looking at. So keep that in mind as you're watching. I like that sort of stuff.
As we go along on the episode, Katara and Sokka meet Aang, and they're just kind of playing around. Aang convinces Katara to check out this old abandoned fire ship, or like ship from the Fire Nation. So that's where things sort of go south in this episode. And basically, they set off this flare on accident, and Zuko sees this because he's apparently just floating the seven seas his entire life to find the Avatar. And Zuko's like, oh, yeah, I'm headed there because, boom, that's where I want to be. That didn't make any sense, but basically that. But I want to talk a little bit more about Zuko in that situation, I think, because he's super hot-headed, and once he finds this, or like once he gets that signal of a flare, he just sort of goes into overdrive. Are there significance to the elements that people can bend? Like the water tribe is maybe chill, Zuko is hot-headed, or is that just purely coincidence?
It's not coincidence at all. I think that the interesting thing is we see different types of benders that can, or like we see different types of water benders, we see different types of fire benders, we see different types of earth benders. So we'll see, we'll meet a main character earth bender in the second season, and she's like very stubborn. Like she doesn't move. She does what she wants to do. She is rock. Like that's what she, that's her thing. Whereas Zuko, we see very hot-headed, just wants to burn everything, wants to use his muscles, as his Uncle Iroh says. Uncle Iroh, the goat of the entire series. And then Uncle Iroh, also a firebender, the Dragon of the West. He is not...
Whoa. Dragon of the West? How do I get that title? I want that. Put that on my tombstone.
I hope it's West. It might be Dragon of the East. One of them. I think it's Dragon of the West. Either way, he's just like this warm kind of campfire who's just very inviting. And there, it kind of shows both sides of what fire can do. And you see that with some like mudbenders later in season one, which are different than the waterbenders from the southern and northern water tribe. So there is something to that. You are not reading too much into that.
Awesome. Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up the episodes? I think my final thought is I would love to penguin slide. That looks really fun.
Yeah, I have some final thoughts. Yeah, penguin sliding does look very fun. And I would love to do that one day. Maybe if it wasn't cold. They need to be like warm weather penguins. I think with
global warming.
We'll get there. With Sokka, I think it's just kind of sad that he is the oldest male in his village. Like, it's literally just him because all of the older men are off to war. So this 14-year-old kid is kind of in charge of a lot of things. And I feel like a 14-year-old shouldn't have to do everything that he's doing. He's literally trying to get these little, I won't say toddlers, they're like 5 to 7-year-olds to be ready for war if war ever comes. And that's super sad. I mean, it's played for laughs, but it's really, really sad. Also in this episode, Aang and Katara talk about finding a waterbending teacher for Katara, which is kind of the whole driving force of season one, is finding a teacher for Katara and also finding a teacher for Aang because he needs to learn how to waterbend as well. So what else did I have? Oh, the Dolly Zoom. Yeah, at the end of the episode, when Aang finds out that he's been frozen for 100 years, there's a Dolly Zoom in on his face, which I just thought was interesting because we don't see a lot of Dolly Zooms in animation.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, no, I know. I do know what that is. Could you explain it, though, for the people on the phone who don't?
So the most famous Dolly Zoom, I would say, is in Jaws, where all the people are, I think, oh, God, it's been a minute since I've seen Jaws. I feel like people are running out of the ocean, and it's just like a medium close shot of this dude's face, and it zooms in on his face, but everything else gets wider. And they do that by zooming out while pushing in, or pushing in while zooming out. I forget which one it is, but it's a fun little tool that you can use. You can do it on your phone, like with the video thing on your phone, and it's the same effect if you want to see how it works. But that's a Dolly Zoom. Dolly Zooms are cool.
Nice.
So now let's get into the second episode, The Avatar Returns. Upon returning to the tribe, Aang is promptly banished by a furious Sokka for alerting the ship of the Fire Nation Prince. Later, Zuko attacks the Southern Water Tribe village and demands the Avatar be surrendered to him. Aang returns to the village where he reveals that he is the Avatar. Gasp!
Air horn noise.
Which is actually high-key spoiled in the intro. But he's the Avatar and surrenders himself to Zuko on the condition that the latter leave the village B. Aboard Zuko's ship, Aang frees himself and battles Zuko. Katara and Sokka fly on Appa to save Aang, and the three manage to escape. Katara and Sokka decide to accompany Aang on his travels to the Northern Water Tribe to find a waterbending teacher for both Aang and Katara.
Okay, so our heroes are off on their adventure, basically. And this episode was pretty cool because there was an epic battle sequence where there's lots of bending, and then Zuko kind of gets his ass handed to him. Can I swear when talking about a children's show?
Hell yeah, you can. Don't you listen to Binge Mode? Do you hear the things that they say about Harry and Jenny?
No, I never did, actually. That's funny. So, well, actually, that's my first note from the episode is I don't get how old they are. How is Aang so young and supposed to be this master airbender?
Aang is very good at airbending. He was always, and you'll see some flashbacks later in the season about how good he was at airbending. In order to get the tattoos, you have to be an airbending master. So
what are the tattoos? Can you explain more about that?
They're just arrows, like wind flows in direction. So he has arrows, one pointing kind of towards the middle of his forehead, and then on his arms and hands. I think he has some on his legs as well.
Do you get tattoos for being a master of everything?
No, it's just an airbender thing.
Oh, so is airbending the hardest bending to master?
So the only way you can ask that is by asking an avatar, because only avatars can bend all four elements. And it depends on what your home element is how hard it'll be. For example, waterbenders are very bad at firebending. Airbenders are very bad at earthbending, and then vice versa.
Okay, that makes sense.
Aang, because like fire and wind are kind of like hand in hand, Aang is actually will be a very good firebender.
Could you explain a little bit more around the lore of like just being a bender? Do you wake up one day and you're like, hell yeah, man, look it, I can do the Elsa Frozen shit with my fingers? Is it kind of like that?
Kind of. I mean, they don't go very in depth on how people find out that they're benders, but I figure if just from watching the show and watching like some supplemental things in the sequel series on Legend of Korra, when they're kids, their parents notice them being able to do certain things, and that's how they figure out that they're benders. And if they have the resources too, they'll bring them to someone who can teach them how to bend, like for real. Again, a thing that is very prevalent in these first two episodes is how frustrated Sokka is and how defensive he is of his people. He's been hurt by the Fire Nation. Like, you can tell that there is some trauma there that he is working through and kind of masking a little bit. And it's interesting to see how he goes about working through that trauma in this episode. It turns into Sokka putting on some war paint and throwing a boomerang at Zuko.
So I think another, like, going back to the battle scene, it was pretty well done for an animated battle sequence. Like, it had really good music. I wrote, hey, Sokka, get hit. So, you know, he got hit, and that's a major plot point.
I think one thing that we noticed last time is you talked about the kind of naturism of the show.
During our drunk recording, I did bring up that there was some, it felt like we were really like getting into, you know, the beauty of the earth and like the ice and the water. And because like there wasn't a lot of snow or whatever, well, it didn't look like there was any snow in the Water Nation, but Water Tribe, I corrected myself.
There you go.
It didn't look like there was a lot of snow in the Water Tribe. So is this sort of like a metaphor for global warming going forward, or I don't know, like metaphor for something?
I think it could be a kind of a warning message about the dangers of industrialization, because we see like the Fire Nation that's just very much steel and iron and a lot of black smoke coming out of everything that they're doing. And they literally tear through the ice of the Southern Water Tribe when they roll up into that village. I think that's not an accident. One thing I noticed when they land in the Southern Water Tribe is that a plank comes down and you see a bunch of faceless foot soldiers come off. And it's kind of like stormtroopers in Star Wars. It's just kind of that trope of the faceless minions that do whatever the big bad tells them to do. I thought that was a interesting thing that I didn't really consider the past couple of times I've watched. Let's see. Yeah, Aang's the Avatar, we learn. When Zuko says, bring me the Avatar, and picks up Grand-Grand and says, he's going to be about this old, and shouts to Grand-Grand because she's the goat. She's the best. But then Aang says, nope, it's me, the kid. I'm right here.
Because he was stuck in ice for 100 years.
Right.
Is Aang Captain America?
He might be.
Okay.
Man out of time. I mean, honestly, it's not a bad analogy.
I thought you were going to say theory. I was like, fuck off. Aang is not Captain America.
No, it's not a bad analogy between Cap being frozen for 60 whatever years and coming out in modern times, and Aang being trapped for a literal century and finding out that his world is being torn apart.
And he missed a pretty big war too. I mean, tensions are still high from what I understand, but there was a big war, and that's why that ship in the first episode was there as well.
Exactly. But again, it's I like how they straight up say we met the new Avatar, an airbender named Aang, in the voiceover before the episode. So it's not a big reveal, but it's it's fun. And then Aang and Zuko fight for a little bit in the snow before he turns himself in. And it's just a little sad how young they both are. Like, Aang is 12 and Zuko is 15.
That is really young.
They are proxies fighting a war that Aang knows nothing about, and Zuko is too young to understand.
I would say the same thing about Sokka, too. Like, he sort of stands up when the ship first starts cracking the ice, and he's like, no, like, don't, you know, don't come after us or whatever. So it's really just sort of like the kids taking the place of the elders, and that, like, I wouldn't be able to do that at 12. I know this is just a show and I know that's fantasy, but it is a lot of responsibility to place on like one person's shoulder.
It is. And it's a trope you see in a lot of children's and young adult teen, whatever you want to call it, fiction, is these kids having their entire childhoods torn apart by something they have no ability to control. Like, you see it in Harry Potter. It's literally the plot of Harry Potter is Harry and his friends having their childhood taken away. Same with Percy Jackson. Same with insert whatever other YA fantasy thing. So Aang goes with Zuko, and it's not very hard for him to break out of his little prison that they're holding him in. He's very quippy, with his hands behind his back, running literal circles around the stormtroopers and the Fire Nation ship. And he gets into a fight with Zuko, and it looks like he's about to be overwhelmed. And right as it looks like things are about to turn south, his tattoos start glowing, his eyes start glowing, and suddenly he rises out of the water where he fell in, and he has earth and water and fire and air all swirling around him. He's able to sink the Fire Nation ship in a bunch of ice and is able to escape with his friends. This is what we will learn to call the Avatar state eventually. What we've learned about the Avatar state is that the Avatar state is when all the past Avatars from generations and generations back all channel themselves through Aang, which is why we be able to see him bend all of the elements. Aang himself does not know how to bend all the elements yet, but if he goes into the Avatar state, which he can't control, that's how he is able to do all of that.
So the Avatar state is pretty cool. And it's I was so sort cool. of I was sort of confused because at the end of the episode, we see him and Katara and Sokka go off to the Northern Water Tribe because Aang doesn't fully know how to waterbend yet, and he can't teach Katara, who also wants to learn how to waterbend because there are no like waterbenders left in the Southern Hemisphere or whatever, wherever they are. So you see him like really want to learn and teach. And I just like, that makes me happy because I know that Aang is good. Like, I know that he is pure inside. And he has like, I was listening to Binge Mode actually about Star Wars. And they were talking about how Anakin Skywalker is such this like pure little kid in Phantom Menace. And then later on, spoiler, when he's Darth Vader, you're like, you were never supposed to see that coming because he's such a good kid. Like, if you would have just started off watching the first episode, not knowing anything, you would have thought Anakin would never have, like, he's a good kid. Him and Padme were just supposed to marry or whatever. It kind of gives me the same vibes. Like, they're just good people and they're here to do good for the world. And sometimes we need that. So I'm excited.
Very wholesome. It's good stuff. I stopped taking notes at this point. Well before this point, because I was just watching the episode and I forgot because I like it so much. But
one of my last notes is, what is Appa, a beaver? I do not know.
Oh my God. That hurts. He's a flying bison.
How would they have known that?
I think he says it.
Do you have any last thoughts about this episode before we wrap up?
At the end of the episode, the sun comes out as Aang and them are talking and laughing. And I think that's just a nice touch. It's kind of a turning point in this war that's been going on for 100 years. I really like this show. Every time I watch it, I find something that I like more. It's just, I really enjoy it.
I'm excited too. And if you guys liked this episode of the podcast, let us know, because we are considering doing a full rewatch podcast of Avatar The Last Airbender, and we would love to have your support. So you can let us know. You can email us at host@shityouneedtoknow.com or find us on Instagram. Otherwise, we might just do it anyway. So stay tuned for that.
We will see.
It's a lot of work though. We got to be more prepared.
So make it worth it.
We will see you next week, where we talk about our unpopular opinions in pop culture. For example, what's an unpopular opinion that I have?
We'll find out next week.
See you then. Find us online at www.shityouneedtoknow.com or needtoknow.show, and on Twitter and Instagram at SYNTKpod.
Thank you to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
And thanks to Sir and Purs for the artwork.
Big shouts to Irene, even though you don't listen to the podcast.
And don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon. Sit back, relax, have some water, because we are going deep into the Water Nation.
Water Tribe.
Water Tribe. Damn it. I don't know my... Water Tribe. Okay, I'm going to redo that. So sit back, relax, grab some water, because we are going deep into the Southern Water Nation.
Nope, Southern Water Tribe.
Fucking A.